Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This hour, an unlikely figure is the star of an estate auction in Amesbury. The private collection of the late Grande Dame Harriet Gould, member of a historic Yankee family, contains memorabilia, gifts, and works by none other than pop art icon Andy Warhol. Now, in a scene straight out of a movie, the items were found in Gould's attic after she passed away. These items had not been seen for 30 years. The Warhol collection originally belonged to Harriet's son, John Gould, also known as the muse of Warhol's later years. The auction will be continuing through tomorrow, but joining us right now to discuss the finds are Dan Meter, the director at the John McGinnis Auctioneers in Amesbury. Dan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. We're also joined by Thomas Sokolowski. He's the former director of the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh and current director of the Zimmerli Art Museum at Rutgers University. Thomas Sokolowski, welcome to you.
Welcome. Thank you very much.
And I said that wrong. It's Zimmerli, right?
Zimmerli.
My apologies. Well, first of all, Dan, let me just start with you. How significant is this find? Is this auction unseen items from Warhol for 30 years?
Well, it's very significant in that we found some things that were unknown and unusual, atypical of his work. So for us to find that up here in Amesbury, Massachusetts was just, you know, it's an extraordinary thing.
Now, you went through the collection piece by piece as you were discovering it.
It wasn't just a collection. It was the house was very, very full. So I had to pull through to find these things, to pull them out. We knew the relationship that John Gould had with Andy. So we knew that there was potential. He had an art collection. John had an art collection that he had amassed with Andy Warhol, and that was separate from what we were dealing with. We were dealing with the personal effects, the things that were brought back after he passed away, and Harriet stored them away in the house. And in that, we found these treasures.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about exactly what those treasures are in just a minute. But Thomas, I think it's really the story of the relationship between Gould and Warhol, which makes this such an exciting moment. I mean, tell us who John Gould was.
Well, I think it's very interesting, given your past segment, the relationship between Gould and Andy Warhol was extremely chaste, on the one hand, compared to what we've been hearing the last few weeks in our world. I think it's, when you said earlier that Gould was the muse of Andy Warhol in his later years, I think that was really true, because from all the indications we had in the archives in the museum, as well as through Andy's own words that were published in his diaries, he really talks openly about his passion and love for John Gould. And we don't really know, because there's nowhere in the archives where there was any indication of whether there was any complete reciprocation, whether any physical activity between the two of them. But Gould certainly lived in Warhol's house for a while, and they went on many trips together. And certainly one of the things that Warhol did when people he was fixated upon would take them out on trips across the world, across the city, and take them to places like Studio 54 or Max's Kansas City earlier. And that these young people, even though John Gould came from a very prominent Yankee family, as you said, never probably in his young days would have gotten in. So it was a wonderful kind of symbiotic use of one another. Gould has provided access, as I said, and Andy Warhol was able to bring in someone young and attractive, and that would always bring any people to his group. And he had done that very similarly back in the 60s with the Gamma, Edie Sedgwick, who also was from an old Yankee as well as California family.
Now, Thomas, if I may, but there's sort of some, as with any relationship like this, there's complexities, right? Because I understand that Gould was not an openly gay man.
No, and in fact, when he, even though at the end of his New York years, he was in the hospital and then recovered, at least for a time period, and then went to Los Angeles, which has always been, particularly in those years, was very closeted out there, from what I'm told. He did not do anything or appear even in groups that would suggest that he was gay or bisexual. And I think the family, subsequent to his death in particular, never admitted to that. And I think it's not uninteresting that this material that was just discovered was sort of hidden away.
Yeah.
I think it was like the purloined letter. The family didn't want this kind of evidentiary material to come out there, although none of it really is at all salacious or even juicy. But, you know, there was, I remember in one of the elements in one of Warhol's time capsules, there was a pillow which had their two, the letters of their first and last names sort of intertwined in embroidery on a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And I can say that one time when I went through the photographs that remained in the holdings of the Andy Warhol Foundation back 15 years ago, of the 20 or 30,000 photographs that remained, an inordinate number were photographs, Polaroids, etc., of John Gould.
Oh, interesting. Let me jump in here, because I want to turn back to Dan for a moment. Now, Gould died at the very young age of 33 of AIDS-related illness, right? And just what? That was just 6 months prior to Warhol dying.
Yes, right.
So in the trove that you found in Gould's mother's house, what about their relationship? What do the items illuminate about the relationship?
I found some things that were very telling, and there was some poetry that John had written to Andy, and what he did was he made photocopies of it before he sent it out to him. And so this would have been when he was in California, and he would send it back over. And they were very compassionate, they were very loving, and they were very, if you got this from your companion or someone that you wanted to be with, you'd be so warmed and so heartened to have these things. And when you look at these, and then you look at some of the things that we found in these artworks, and the aggressive nature of them, it's like you can see that it wasn't a one-way street. I mean, Andy, yes, we all know Andy had this infatuation for John, but it was not a one-way street. We found that in some of these writings. In some of the artwork, like I said, that we found, we see the complexity, though, because they're very aggressive pieces. And I think when he presented them to John, it was really telling of what was going on in Andy's head.
And Thomas, what do you make of that? Does it further your understanding of those last months of Andy Warhol's own life?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, having worked with his works for a long time. But I would say what was interesting, and that I would not be in disagreement with the other gentleman, but it was very interesting that I guess it was the second time that John Gould was in the hospital, and Andy was, not only was he frightened about the AIDS crisis, but he always had a morbid fear of hospitals and death, and that he died of malpractice 6 months later.
Right.
He had something on there. But when he came back, in one of the diary entries, he said to his housekeepers, oh, now, because at that point he had been, before he went to the hospital, John had been living in Andy's townhouse in the east side of Manhattan. He said, oh, make sure you wash his dishes and his laundry separate from mine.
That was in 1984, right. Yeah.
And there was a notion of that, you know, almost had more power for him because of this sort of mortality, which was some of his Byzantine Catholic upbringing. But I think you were right that there was a real fondness there. I mean, almost in a funny kind of way, whether it was ever consummated or not, it reminds me of this film that's being so touted now, Call Me By Your Name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of definitely a lot of frustration.
And old and flirtation and what have you.
Yeah, so we just got about a minute or so to go. Dan, I wanted to ask you about one of the items which is going to be up for auction. It's the high-value one that you're saying, but it's one that has no peer in the Warhol collection.
Right. It was a new canvas, a stretched canvas that Andy took, and he actually, with force, broke this canvas and formed it into a sculpture and painted it at the same time. So he formed it into this structure that it's very moving. When you look at it, it's a very powerful piece that it makes you think. You look at this and you understand, when you realize what was going on in the world of Andy and John, that there was conflict and that there was frustration and there were all of these aggressive behaviors in Andy's mind. So it really is a unique piece that there's nothing that we have seen that has been familiar. So that to us, you know, really, you know, it gave me goosebumps when I found it. And when you understand the relationship, it's just like, wow, this is in 1983, right in the middle of what would have ended up as being in the heart of their relationship and all the conflict that was involved. So it was really telling.
Fascinating. And you're estimating that it could be worth $500,000.
Yeah, well, we know his work goes up to $110 million in the past at auction. So it goes down to low thousands all the way up. There's no one that could say we're right or wrong. Well, an auction will determine what it's worth on that day. So that's what we'll find.
Well, Dan Meter is the director at John McInnes Auctioneers in Amesbury. Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having us. The auction is tomorrow at 1 p.m.
And Dan's helping us tell the story of this amazing trove of Andy Warhol-related items found in a house in Amesbury. Thomas Sokolowski is the former director of the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh and currently the director of the Zimmerle Art Museum at Rutgers. Thomas Sokolowski, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a nice afternoon.